The word today is warning. Welcome to The Word Today with pastor and Bible teacher Doug Schrader. If you see that someone you love is in danger, would you ignore it? Of course not. You would attempt to protect them. Likewise, God doesn't want us to be destroyed, but rather saved through Jesus Christ. Here to reveal how God calls out to us to save us is Pastor Doug Schrader on The Word Today, Warning.
Have you ever been with someone or possibly a group of people you were maybe tired, falling asleep, or maybe you were operating a piece of machinery and not paying attention, and suddenly they yelled, "Watch out! Pay attention!" What they're doing is they're giving you a warning designed to save you a lot of trouble and possibly even save your own life. The Word of God, the Bible, has many warnings in it given from a loving God to try to help save us a lot of grief in life, and in the end, designed to save our souls. These warnings should be adhered to. They should be listened to and heeded. Let me give you an example of one of these warnings from the Word of God. In Paul's letter to the church in Galatia, in Galatians chapter 6, starting at verse 7, it says this: "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." This doesn't necessarily sound like an outright warning at first. It almost sounds more like a parable or a truism, a statement that generally holds true. But in reality, it has a very deep warning contained within it, and that is that if you live your life toward ends that are evil, sinful, fleshly, of the human nature that is fallen, it will lead to your spiritual damnation. On the other hand, in a positive sense, if you live your life to please the Lord God, if you come to the Lord Jesus and confess your sins, if you want the Spirit of God to fill you and to give your life over to Him and to live for His glory, it will lead to life eternal. The passage is very simple. A man reaps what he sows. I'll never forget, there was a little saying that stuck in my head about sowing and reaping. I'll try to recall it accurately for us here. Sow a thought, reap an act. Sow an act, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a lifestyle. Sow a lifestyle, reap a destiny. That's pretty much exactly what is being said in Galatians chapter 6. And I wonder if possibly the person who came up with that saying had Galatians 6 in mind. One thing we need to understand is that the warning in Galatians 6 is not a simple cause and effect relationship. It's not telling us that for every single little thing that you do, there is going to be a certain reaction, such as if you drop a ball from 5 feet in the air, the automatic reaction will be that it falls to the ground and strikes the ground. And in the same way, it's not just a simple reaction that if, for instance, you tell a lie, then you're going to get a pain in your arm. These kind of relationships are not what's being talked about here. What's being talked about is the sequence, the series of a person's life the deeds that are countless little deeds, the thoughts, the entirety of the person's flow of thinking and actions in life are going to inevitably lead toward one thing or the other. They're either going to lead toward life eternal, or they're going to lead toward destruction and damnation. The analogy of sowing a seed and the harvest is appropriate. And Jesus used illustrations of plants in order to demonstrate this reality also. He told the story, the parable, of a man who sowed wheat, and then as the seeds came up, there were weeds, and it was very evident that some of the seeds were of good crop and the others were not. There was a judgment involved there. And in the end, the weeds were destroyed and the wheat was saved. Well, in the same way, we have to work at, we have to develop a crop, so to speak, of righteousness. As we sow deeds, words, thoughts that are pleasing to God. It kind of reminds me of when we went to my in-laws and my sons helped in the potato patch in the garden. They had to work at pulling the potato bugs off of the plant's leaves so the bugs would not devour all the leaves. This diligence, this vigil of confronting and destroying these bugs had to happen at least twice a day in order to protect the plants. And it was almost with a kind of perseverance that had to be displayed over weeks that these bugs were finally eliminated and the plants were kept safe. If not for that, if not for the consistent working at it, sowing, so to speak, the action of protecting those plants, then those plants never would have developed properly and there never would have been potatoes in the end. In the same way, we are to have consistent thoughts of God and of goodness and righteousness. It says, the scripture says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace, patience, and the list goes on. These are the things that if we fill our hearts with them, and if we direct our thinking toward thinking godly things, then that cannot help but change our actions and our behaviors to be more in line with His will. You know, some people actually try to work at evil and try to work at corruption. It's kind of interesting, all the energy and effort that goes into it. This summer, when we were driving up toward my in-law's farm in Canada, I was noticing this on the highway and how some people intentionally ignored the warnings that were on the road. There were, of course, the speed limit signs that told you how fast you could legally drive. There were radar units that were set up with flashing signs that would be trained on your car, and as you passed, they would flash the speed you were going. And so maybe someone who was not so sure or not paying attention, this would be like the wake-up call. Watch out, wake up. And maybe that would have jogged them and gotten them to think about what they were doing and slow down. There were, upon occasion, empty patrol cars with their lights flashing, forcing the traffic to slow down. There were even radio ads warning that if you speed, you will be ticketed. And I thought, with all of these warnings, and the final one that we saw, the one that was most scary, was the accident with this semi-truck off the side of the road with a car in the ditch and the big skid marks from the tires of the semi-trailer as it hung half off the road and half in the ditch. And I thought, that's a real scary reminder. It's a warning of what could happen if you don't repent of poor driving habits. And still there were people that just ignored all these things. And it seems as though they consciously made the decision, I'm not going to pay attention to that. That doesn't apply to me. it won't happen to me. And they keep zooming past, pushing the speed limit. And the bottom line is, it will cost them at some point. What about ourselves? Do we ignore the warnings, the indicators that God has given us? The book of Romans, in Romans chapter 1, makes it abundantly clear that nature declares, it's like a giant flashing sign that says, there is a God, there is a creator, and people willfully ignore this. They deliberately forget that he has created the heavens and the earth. You know, the gospel contains warnings in it as well. Jesus definitely gave warnings to people. Repent, for the kingdom is at hand. He was referring to himself. God's kingdom in the form of himself, the Son of God among mankind, was at hand. The message was, repent of your sins, turn from your sins, and receive the good news, the one who brings salvation. And still people will dismiss. Still people will turn away and ignore. Verse 7 is critical. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A lot of people think they're going to get away with mocking God, with ignoring him, thinking that they won't be caught, they won't be harmed. But the answer is, man or woman, you are a human, and you are infected with sin, and you need to get right with God. You need to confess your sin and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. What you do in life is going to lead toward one or the other conclusion. The thoughts you sow, the deeds that you do, are building either toward life eternal or toward separation from God and damnation. It's inevitable as a seed with time coming up from the ground and forming a plant. So also your life is forming one or the other conclusion. God in his love calls you toward Jesus Christ and wants you to receive his forgiveness. Do not throw your life away. Do not waste it living for yourself, but live it for the glory of God and his forgiveness and receive his salvation.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We always appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for The Word Today. We would really enjoy hearing from you, so why don't you take a moment and write us a note today? And when you write, be sure to request the booklet by Pastor Paul Schrader entitled Intercession. In this free booklet, he writes about the intercessory ministry of Jesus Christ on behalf of his church, and especially on his beautiful prayer in the 17th chapter of John's Gospel. So write today for your free copy of Intercession. Our address is The Word Today, Box 77, Greendale, Wisconsin, 53129. That's The Word Today, Box 77, Greendale, Wisconsin, 53129. Please remember that your financial gift helps this program to stay on the air. Also, your free will offerings help us add new stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. You may be interested to know that we also broadcast in 46 foreign languages. Please pray that God will help us continue to expand. Once again, our address is The Word Today, Box 77, Greendale, Wisconsin, 53129. That's The Word Today, Box 77, Greendale, Wisconsin, 53129. Every week at this time, we bring you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your life. We hope you'll join us again next week for The Word Today.